Blog Talk Radio.
This is what men do to try to get every hair. This is what we do. Introducing Fusion Pro Glide, rebuilt with FlexBall technology, makes maximum contact over tricky contours and gets virtually every hair. New FlexBall for the Fusion Pro Glide. Gillette, the best a man can get.
A new announcement into WBNN News Forum. Lead host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Junicia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, brought to you by In Good Time Multimedia.
Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Chinchilla Junicia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is March 27, 2022, the last Sunday in the month of March. Wow, can you believe it? Jeez, this year is really zooming by so quickly. Tonight on News Forum is part one of major corruption in the Southwest. We're going to be looking at some of the states in the Southwest, such as Arizona, Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico. We will examine and highlight and expose injustice from wrongful convictions, extreme racism, setups and cover-ups, to modern-day lynchings. So much to talk about tonight, and we have some wonderful, wonderful guests tonight that will be joining us, and also people that will be just calling in randomly, telling us about their cases of corruption, their stories of corruption, their stories of injustice, stories of police brutality, and so many things that are going on in these southwestern states. We will also hear updates tonight on the case of Eric Hayes, told by his sister, Monique Hayes. And we do have a very special guest tonight that will be joining us from Oklahoma. And guess what? You're just going to have to wait until after my news correspondent to find out who that special guest is. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J will be right back after this. Pfizer has issued a recall for high blood pressure medication distributed under three names, according to the company. Aceretic and its two generic versions distributed by Greenstone, Quinapril and hydrochlorothiazide tablets, and Quinapril HCI hydrochlorothiazide tablets are subject to the recall. The medications treat hypertension. The recall is voluntary and stems from the tablets containing higher levels of nitrosamines, which pose a high cancer risk. Nitrosamines may increase the risk of cancer if people are exposed to them above acceptable levels over long periods of time. Nitrosamines may be unintentionally introduced when certain chemical reactions are used in the production of medications. Distributors and wholesalers should stop use and distribution and quarantine the product immediately. Pfizer recommends that patients taking the medication consult with their doctor about alternative treatment options. High blood pressure is a growing problem. The number of people over 30 with the condition has doubled over the past 30 years, according to a 2021 study. Well, if you would like to get off your meds, because as you see, medications are being recalled each and every week because of contaminants and possible carcinogens. So if you would like to do something different and get on the road to optimum health. Why don't you give? Here's to your health a call at 267-551-7517. Again, that number is 267-551-7517. Give them a call today so that they can help you get off of those man-made, chemically induced medications and help you to get well and stay well, doing it God's way with His herbs that He created since the beginning of time. Well, here is something for all of my New Jersey listeners. In Paulsboro, New Jersey, the water has been contaminated since 2005 with PFAS in the water, which actually stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which are also known as forever chemicals because they stay in our bodies for years and have been linked to potentially serious health outcomes, according to Dr. Robert Lombaugh, the Rutgers University's professor and a researcher who is leading a study on the effects that the contaminated water has had for years. They're doing studies on both adults and children. And the study is going to have the participants undergo a blood test searching for PFASs and other tests like cholesterol and blood glucose levels. These effects that the contaminants have could possibly cause a lot of different health problems, especially within children, like with their memory and cognitive function and reasoning and other related skills. It could definitely affect their behavior and school learning. Contaminated toxic water, water filled with bacteria. Guess what? It's in so many different municipalities and different inner cities, and water should be tested regularly. You need to actually be proactive and start ordering home test kits to test your own water to find out what bacteria, what toxins are in it, and what chemicals are in your water, because there's definitely something wrong with the water. I know in Philadelphia, something's wrong with the water in so many different areas. So Paulsboro, be careful with drinking that water and other areas in New Jersey as well. So now they would like to use you as guinea pigs on testing the water in your body to see if it has affected you health-wise. But, I don't know whether to tell you to participate or not. That's totally up to you. There are now over 1 million coronavirus deaths in the United States of America, with over 6 million worldwide deaths due to COVID-19. The United States is still the epicenter for this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic that started in 2020. 2 years later, we are still the epicenter, the country with the most deaths as well as the most infections worldwide out of the 225 countries and territories that are infected. Continue to wear your mask and don't let up and become careless because you're vaccinated. Because as we already know, those who have been vaccinated, double vaccinated, triple vaccinated, and booster shotted up are still getting infected and they're still dying as well. So wear your mask, wear your mask, wear your mask. And for heaven's sake, contact Here's to Your Health so that we can get you on the road to optimum health today. 267-551-7517. Here's to your health. Chinchilla Jonesia reporting, WBNN News Forum.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go.
Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, dollar sign, Be a Voice Tour. That's $BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. News Forum is a syndicated radio program with over 13.8 million listeners worldwide. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor of News Forum. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and you would like to talk, comment, or vent, you must dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. If you're already tuned in tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, or share a story of corruption in the Southwest, press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Criminal defense attorney Caroline Turner will not be with us tonight, but she will be returning next Sunday. She is still in Minnesota enjoying her newly born grandson. Continue to enjoy your visit with your daughter and grandchild, and we wish you safe travels upon your return to Pennsylvania. Please keep in mind that while News Forum practices freedom of speech, we ask that you refrain from using profanity on the show. Also keep in mind that all of the stories and cases of corruption that you will hear tonight, they're all real stories, real life events. This is not a reality show. This is a real life show. So now sit back, relax, and enjoy this show as we take you to the live scheduled broadcast of News Forum tonight, exposing major corruption in the Southwest. And now here she is, host and anchor of News Forum, investigative reporter Chinchilla J. Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight? I am Chinchilla Jonesia, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. And wow, as I said in the intro, this year is zooming by so fast. It is the last Monday, wow, I'm a day ahead of myself. It's the last Sunday in the month of March. Wow, it's just crazy. I hope you all are being productive this year and getting things done, you know, because some of you didn't get things done in 2021. And I asked you, what are you going to do in 2022? What have you been doing? Well, whew, I've been busy. And I know some of you listening tonight have been very busy out there advocating for justice, fighting for justice for your loved ones, and fighting for justice for other people that you advocate for. And this is what we have to do. We have to make it our concern to fight for justice and fight against corruption and stand up and speak up and be a voice every chance we get, because guess what? One of these days, we won't be here anymore to fight for justice. So we have to fight now while we still have the breath of life in our bodies and while we still have our voice. What do you think God gave you a voice for? He did not give you a voice to be quiet and to sit down and say nothing. And, you know, those of you that are blessed enough to have legs, he didn't give you legs to just sit down. He gave you legs to stand up. Stand up for justice and speak out against injustice, okay? So that's what we're doing tonight. And we're going to be talking about major corruption and injustices, police brutality, and so many other corruption issues and injustices in the Southwest, because everybody thinks that their state is the worst state that is filled with corruption and injustices. But guess what? I think every state in this country is terrible. Terrible, because I think Pennsylvania is absolutely horrible. But then we heard stories the past 3 weeks of corruption in the South, in the deep South. And wow. And now tonight, we're going to hear some more cases of corruption that's going to just literally blow your minds. And boy, oh boy. And I also want to take a moment before we get into the corruption piece tonight. I do want to say a few things before we get started. I'm going to talk about a few women for a moment, because guess what? This month was Women's History Month, and last year we featured and honored women last year, I think for the whole month of March. So today I'm going to take that time to do that tonight to just talk about a few women. And I always make it with women that I know and I have, you know, met. And I think that they are doing something really awesome and they need to be recognized. They definitely need to be recognized for what they do. And with that in mind, I am going to ask Brother O if he would play that song, the Queen song. It's not a song. It's like a spoken word piece about queens, because all of you women are queens, 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 and you're wonderful and amazing. So let's listen to this amazing piece.
I should be worrying, but I'm worshiping. I should be panicking, but I'm praising. I should be crying, but I'm chilling. I should be dead, but I'm living. I should be crazy, but God kept my mind. I should be depressed, but God's delivering power came through right on time. I should be low, but I'm high off the Most High. I should be ill, but the blood of Jesus stopped by. I should be angry, but I have peace that surpasses all understanding. I should be bent over, broken, and jacked up, but because of His grace and mercy, I'm still standing. I should be losing, but I'm winning. I should be poised, but I'm swirling and spinning. I should be weak, but I'm strong. I should have given up, but when I open up the Word of God, it empowers me to hold on. I should be quiet, but I just can't keep it to myself. I should be lacking, but God has given me the power to obtain wealth. I should be in a dark place, but God's love is so real. I should be suicidal, but God declared, "You shall not die. Live." I should be anxious, but I've learned how to stand on the Word. I should be fearful, but I know who it is that I serve. I should be struggling, but God is a provider. I should not have come through, but I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a fighter. I should have been that, but God has called me this. Therefore, I've come to realize quitting is not an option, because queens don't quit.
Wow. And that is so very true, everyone. Queens don't quit. And as women, we can't quit. We can't give up. We have to keep pushing. And most women do keep pushing. And the women I'm about to talk about right now, they're women that are definitely pushing forward, relentlessly fighting and advocating. And, you know, some are doing other things as well. The first person I want to mention is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, I have not had the pleasure of meeting her, but I have done a lot of research on her, and, you know, she's been in the news all week long this past week. And under all the scrutiny and everything that she was put through this past week, being questioned and, like, interrogated and ridiculed and criticized and everything by the Senate and by the Republican Party, you know, and the Democrats did not step in to even try to help her out. They didn't say anything. They allowed that mockery to continue on. But guess what? She held her composure. She stayed poised. She just, oh my God, she to me is a remarkable woman with grace, poise, and dignity. And so I just wanted to mention her. Some of you may not even have heard of her because some of you may not even have watched the questioning this week because she's before the Senate. She was before them, and they, you know, asked their questions and all that stuff. So the Senate hearings to find out, you know, if she will be confirmed. So they were confirmation hearings, and, you know, and hopefully she will. And she will be the first black woman to sit on the Supreme Court, which would be something very, 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 very awesome. Very awesome. I want to also acknowledge tonight Michelle Obama, because Michelle Obama is another woman that was, you know, filled with such grace, poise, and dignity. She was the first black first lady in this country. And, you know, everything that the Obamas went through during President Obama's presidency, guess what? She just kept her composure as well and is a remarkable woman. So that's someone that we can look up to, and the young black girls and teenagers and the ones in their early 20s and young adults, that's the role model you all can look up to. In the state of Pennsylvania, State Representative Regina Young is someone I think should be recognized and honored during Women's History Month because she took office for the first time in January 2021. She started her first term, and she came out swinging by introducing a compensation bill in Pennsylvania. And you guys always know I've been talking about Pennsylvania does not have a compensation bill. It has not been passed, but she introduced it. And not only that, this January of 2022, she held her first public hearing, and a public hearing was on the compensation bill. And she had, I was on the panel, Caroline Turner, Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto was on that panel, and Terrell Johnson out of Pittsburgh, who was another exoneree. And that made history. Those were historical moments for her and for us as well, because that was the very first time in the history of Pennsylvania for there to be a public hearing on compensation for exonerees. So kudos to you, Representative Regina Young. I also want to honor Caroline Turner, who fights relentlessly for people and for justice. And she ran for judge, and she did not win last year. But guess what? She will win her next time when she runs for judge. And she's still practicing criminal law, and she does malpractice law, and she also does custody law as well. And she's an awesome person. I also want to recognize Karen Brookins. Karen Brookins, who fights relentlessly for her husband, John Brookins, who has been wrongfully incarcerated now for 31 years. And Karen has been on this show a few times. She's been on the podcast several times. And Karen just lost her only son a little over a week ago. And, wow, my heart goes out to you, Karen, but you are awesome. You're remarkable. And keep pushing. And we're going to continue to pray for you, Karen, because we know that you're going through a rough time right now. So, Karen, kudos to you. I also want to recognize a woman who was going to be featured this year in the month of May. Her name is Renee Lawson Reynolds. Renee Lawson Reynolds, she passed away last year, and it was just so abruptly, no one knew about anything. She wasn't sick, and she just died. And she is so remarkable because she lived in the state of Pennsylvania, and she was a victim of domestic abuse. And she turned everything around, and she became an advocate against domestic abuse, in advocating for women and mentoring women that have been involved in that type of relationship. And not only that, she has won so many pageants, and she was just remarkable, a beautiful person. So I did want to mention her, and may she continue to rest in peace. I also want to honor Kiana Pierce, who is a mother of three, and she works as a financial consultant, a financial administrator, it is, in Florida in a hospital. And she also runs a business called VIP Events. And she is an awesome person to be 40 years old. She is doing a wonderful, remarkable job. I also want to recognize and honor Karen Penny Johnson, who's been on here several times, who relentlessly fights for exoneration for her fiancé, Brian Parnell. Yvonne Chavez, out of California, relentlessly fighting for her brother, Antonio Chavez, has been on News Forum a few times as well and on the podcast. Ronisha Scott, who advocates for Travis Rayvon out in Georgia. Kudos to you. Monique Hayes, who will be calling in tonight talking about her brother, Eric Hayes. Kudos to you, relentlessly fighting for your brother's release. Arlena Jackson, who has been, oh my gosh, this woman has been hurt so much in her lifetime. So many failed relationships and a failed marriage and a husband that just did her terribly wrong. And she went into a state of depression for a little while, but she came out of that. And now Arlena, oh my gosh, she is doing so well. She had gained so much weight, and now she lost all that weight. She looks great, and she has her own business now called Lima's Boutique in New Jersey. And she is just awesome and remarkable, a mother of four, and she has grandchildren. I also want to recognize Elizabeth Moto, who is Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto's mother. She is awesome. This woman relentlessly fought for the release of her son and for him to be exonerated, her and her husband. They spent over $160,000 on attorney fees, and she never thought for one second that her son was guilty of that crime, and he was not. So hats off and kudos to you, Mrs. Moto. I also want to recognize Dr. Zena Crenshaw Logo and Belinda Parker Brown. They're so remarkable. One is in Louisiana, the other in Georgia, and they fight for judicial justice and to change the judicial system. Also, Councilwoman Jamie Gaudier in Philadelphia, advocate against gun violence. And, oh, my God, she is remarkable. She not only fights against gun violence, she also fights against gentrification. And she says she's not having that in the district she represents. So, oh, wow. I just am in awe of her because she's fighting against these market rate developers. Also, Charlotte Atkins, the wife of Bishop Kenneth Atkins, who's been wrongfully incarcerated since 2005. I just want to mention her tonight because she is doing a remarkable job relentlessly fighting for her husband. Out of all that she is going through to be without him, and today is their 18th anniversary today. March the 27th, their 18th anniversary, the past six anniversaries they've spent together in prison in the visiting room. And Bishop said that, you know, they shared like a cold vending machine hamburger, okay, and a bag of chips and a Coke. And, you know, that's so very sad, but we're praying that, guess what, next year, I am declaring and believing God that next year that they will be able to spend their anniversary, their 19th anniversary together somewhere at a venue of their choice. So that's what I'm claiming for them for next year. I also want to recognize Carolyn Weaver, who is fighting relentlessly for her fiance, Gary Sutton, out in Tennessee. Tracy's still relentlessly fighting for her husband, Herndon Steele. Also, I want to mention Brenda Kellmeyer, who's relentlessly fighting for the release of her son, Joel Atkins, out in Erie, Pennsylvania. LaBrianna Gabriella, a young woman, 21 years of age. She has a son, and she has her own vegan catering business, and she's also a doula, but it's, oh, no, not a doula, it's a practitioner. I forget what it's called. I am so sorry, but it's somewhat like a postpartum practitioner is what she is, and she helps women who are pregnant. She helps them prepare their uterus for delivery, and she also helps those that want to have a water birth at home. She does that, and then she takes care of the women after they have the baby. And it's awesome. She is just such an awesome young woman at the age of 21. I also want to mention, I don't want to make sure I don't miss anyone. Oh, my mother. How can I forget my mom? My mother. I want to mention her, Dr. Sorini Ayana. I definitely want to mention her. She is so very remarkable. Oh, my gosh. She raised two children as a single parent, basically, and she did an awesome job. Look at how I turned out, everybody. And my brother is in Florida. He is the top fitness trainer and fat buster down there, gut fat buster, whatever he calls himself, but down there. But he's awesome. And my mom, she's a naturopath. And she is an iridologist. She travels the world doing this. And you all know that I'm a naturopath as well, but I don't travel the world anymore doing that. But she still does. And she's an awesome, remarkable woman that I have looked up to all of my life. And I also want to mention all of the women that are hosts on News Forum, such as Sister Bessie the Truther, Antonia Batts, Genesis Amaris Kemp, Angela Thomas Smith, Mo Garman, and Lois Shaw, and Stanton, oh gosh, I forget her name. I know her last name is Stanton. Shannon Stanton, I think is what it is. And we have some wonderful women on this network, everybody, and they're all remarkable in their own right. And we definitely appreciate them. Oh, and how can I forget the commissioner of this network, Ebony Dawn Starks. I can't forget her. Oh, Ebony Davis Starks and Dawn Starks. And, you know, Ebony is awesome, a very awesome woman with a publishing company and everything. So hats off and kudos to all of the women of WBNN. And I hope I did not miss any of you women on WBNN. All right, so with that being said, I tried to make it as quick as I could, but it is Women's History Month, and all of these women need to be recognized. All right, so now that I got that out of the way, everybody, we are going to now go to, I forgot. How could I forget the Jersey Jewel? Miss Jerry Petito. Wow. Jerry Petito, she is awesome. And Jerry knows so many celebrities from the oldies, you know, the ones that, you know, made records back in the 60s and all. Jerry, she's just amazing. And she had put together a fundraising event for a friend of hers who had lost everything in a fire. And my God, that event was so wonderful with all these different celebrity groups that came out to that event. So, Jerry Petito, you are an amazing, remarkable woman. All right, everybody. So, I think I covered all of the women of WBNN now. And what I am going to do now, I am going to bring on Monique Hayes. Monique is the sister of Eric Hayes, and Monique has been on News Forum a few times talking about her brother's case. Now, Eric, he is a disabled veteran who has been wrongfully convicted of a murder that he did not commit. And so we're going to get an update from Monique tonight. So let's bring Monique on now to the show. Monique, how are you this evening?
Hello. Thank you, Janicia. Thank you, Chinchilla. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Oh, you're welcome. I'm fine. Thanks. Now, since the last time you were on the show, I know there has been a few updates in your brother's case. So I definitely want you to share that with us because he's out in Arizona, everybody. And, yes, we're doing Arizona tonight. So, hey. Monique definitely has to be a part of this show to give us updates on Eric's case. And just speak a little closer to the mic on your phone, Monique. So what is going on in your brother's case?
Hold on. I'm going to try to get in another part of the house because this area may have some issues. Hold on one second.
Okay. And so now with Eric's case, everybody, you know, like I said, he's a disabled vet, and he's in prison for murder,
And he had no idea who these people are that he's accused of murdering or anything, and never frequented the area that the people lived in or anything like that. And this whole situation is such a shame. And, of course, you know, in Arizona, there's a lot of racism there. Eric had a white fiance or wife and, you know, biracial children, which could have played a part. And the police and the political people there in that town wanting to frame him for a murder, because there's still so many people in this country that are totally against a black man being with a white woman. And so I think that had a whole lot to do with that and why they railroaded him the way that they did, which is such a disgrace, and it's so very sad. So Monique, tell us, give us the updates on Eric's case.
Well, it's hard to really do any updates. There's been some things happening beyond his control. He had an appeal that was he was set to do. This was in November. He missed the deadline of the appeal. As a matter of fact, several prisoners missed their deadlines because supposedly some rodents got into the prison, chewed wires, so they lost access to phones. They lost access to computers. It was like we couldn't communicate with them at all for weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah. So they requested an extension in order to submit that and explain, you know, what caused it. And most of the guys still wasn't granted an extension. Since then, they've been having issues with not having water at times, or if they have water, no hot water. It's just been an issue after an issue after another issue. I know recently after examining some of the information from the case, we discovered that one set of paperwork saying that Eric's DNA was found on a nylon stocking cap. Another set of paperwork saying it was a wool cap. So we're like, well, which one is it? And where are you finding these items? Because two detectives that gave statements, one said that the item was found outside in the street in front of the address where the murder happened. The other one said it was found up the street and around the corner from the crime scene. So it's a lot of inconsistencies. And trying to draw attention to these inconsistencies, trying to get someone to look into them and really dig deep and see what's going on, it's hard. Once they get these guys in prison, they keep them in there. And no one wants to really look into what's going on, because then somebody's going to have the finger pointed at them for dropping the ball. You know, somebody's going to be wrong. And that's what they don't want to face up for. You know, they don't want to take that responsibility. They don't want to be accountable.
Wow. That's terrible. That is really terrible. Now, you said that, so they are a lot of times without water. They didn't have access to any phones or computers or anything for an extended period of time. And so many inmates, they missed their appeal deadlines. And so now, what is the prison doing? Are the attorneys fighting against that? Because it's not their fault if they missed deadlines, if they had no communication, no access to communicating with anyone.
Well, I know Eric just got, he was appointed a new attorney. So we're working with this attorney to try to see what we could do at this point. But it just, the same thing continues to happen. They'll assign Eric an attorney, or we'll get an attorney. They'll work the case. And then it's like they don't reach out to Eric. They don't address his concerns. They don't reach out to us. So he gets frustrated and he fires them. And I'm like, you know, you can't do that. You can't. You have to allow them. It's not going to happen overnight. I understand this is frustrating, but you have to allow them time to do their job. And Eric is like, look, Monique, I'm almost 60 years old. I don't have a lot of time. I've wasted enough time here for something that I didn't do. Now, the good thing is he's being reclassified. So what that means, he's going to go to, they're going to move him to another prison where he'll be able to have in-person visits, because we haven't been able to visit him or see him during this whole ordeal unless it's at court. He said he's in a wheelchair.
Wow.
He still don't have his sleep apnea machine that he was supposed to have.
Okay. Now I know, I know before you told us that, yeah, they had not gotten it for him, so he had been gone a long time without that. So now, do they have it now?
No.
So all this time, Monique, they still have not gotten him that? Oh, my gosh. That is just outrageously disgraceful. Oh, my goodness.
And it's a lot
something
going
has
on
to be
here.
Done.
We just recently had
a prosecutor
resign. She was having personal issues and issues with alcohol, and they're looking into a lot of her cases because she was over-sentencing people.
Wow. Yeah, that happens quite often with these prosecutors over-sentencing people. It's such a sad shame. But, Monique, I thank you so much for telling us all what's going on down there in Arizona in the prisons and in your brother's case. And, you know, I just pray that he gets a lawyer that he will be happy with and just try to encourage him to stick with a lawyer. You know, if you need me to talk to him, I am available, you know, during the week. You can call me and I will talk to him. But, yeah, something definitely has to happen. He definitely needs to get that appeal in. And again, thank you so much, Monique, for calling in tonight, and continue to fight for your brother because he needs to be free. Thanks, Monique.
Thank you.
I will talk to you soon. You're welcome. All right. That was Monique Hayes out of Arizona, everybody. We're going to go to a caller now. And after we go to this caller, we're going to go to a caller, and then after that, we're going to speak with a special guest tonight that is a surprise special guest, and, you know, I know Brother O is going to be really excited about the guest that's going to be on, and so am I, and we're going to be talking about Oklahoma with that particular guest, so, but first, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to take a caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you. And yourself?
You're welcome. I am fine. Thanks. And
yes.
It sounds like James.
This
or Bamani.
The brother known as Bamani. Today is my birthday.
Okay.
I'm doing great today. Yes. I heard people are celebrating all day today. We're sharing a lot of celebratory events today, anniversaries. We have sisters fighting for brothers. This is an awesome day. I'm so glad to share my day with everybody.
Wow, that's awesome. Happy birthday to you, Bamani. How old are you today?
Thank you. I'm 27 again.
Okay. He's 27 again, everybody. And Bamani, he is wrongfully incarcerated down in the South. And it's North Carolina, right, Bamani?
That's close enough.
Okay, so it's South Carolina. Which one?
They're both the same to me.
It's right in the borderline. And now, are there any updates on your case?
Actually, there is an update as far as the justice system goes. And, you know, we have been wondering how we can affect change on a massive level. And the only way to affect mass incarceration is mass decarceration. And the only way to get that is through amnesty. And the only way to get that is by going to the people and getting the people to grant that, because the people have the inherent power in this system. It's the people decide what is going to happen. So all we have to do is petition the people, and the people agree, and amnesty can be granted, and we can mass decarcerate the prisons. We don't have to wait on a lawyer or a judge or anybody. Our family members can be rescued from this torture system that they have, and we can end this nightmare. There's a lot of things that we can do that we don't have to wait on anybody to, you know, do for us. We have freedoms. We have rights. We need to assert them. We don't have to wait on anybody for the right to, you know, the freedom of speech, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't wait on anybody for the right to assert our self-determination and petition the people to grant amnesty. That would be the ideal solution for this nightmare of corruption that's been taking over our lives for the last 150 years since the end of the plantation days. So this is a remedy that we can use without having to ask anybody anything. This is straight move to the people. We don't have to go through any representatives. This is something that we can talk to one another about. The word of mouth can circulate it around. I mean, long before social media came along, we were talking to each other. This affects more than, I mean, 45% of people have been incarcerated, adults. So this is something that affects everybody. At least you know somebody, if not directly affected by it. So we have a chance to right the wrongs and set our society straight. You know, we have a lot of things that we can work on, and we need to get busy working on them and stop sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. It makes no sense for our generation to have all the things that we have, and we acting like we don't know what to do with them. Can you imagine what would happen if Marcus Garvey would have had the internet? Can you imagine what Malcolm, all these brothers would have had the technology that we had, or the wealth that we have? We should be ashamed of ourselves for not using this stuff better. I know it's not we like brains, because we're the most educated people on the planet. I mean, sisters got more education than any group in America. So it's not that we lack education. It's the lack of self-determination is what we lack. We have to gain our independence back. That's what's been broken. That's what's missing. That's what needs to be fixed. That's what the reparation need to be, not money, but self-determination, our will as a people.
Yeah.
So this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to step to the people and get their agreement, their consent for amnesty, because without it, our families are not going to be able to heal. We're not going to be able to get past this. We'll be a permanent underclass in this society, and then that's just going to continue the division and the pain, and we don't need any more of that. We've had enough
of
that.
Right.
So what I'm asking is that people go to change.org and go to End Mass Incarceration Now. End Mass Incarceration Now at change.org.
Okay.
And sign the petition. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that with us tonight, Brother Bomani. And everybody, go to that change.org website, and the petition is In Mass Incarceration. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Now we are going to go to my special guest tonight. And this is a woman I also want to recognize because she is doing a lot of amazing things there in Oklahoma. Now, her name is Francetta Mays, and she is the presidential liaison for the NAACP of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome tonight, Francetta Mays. How are you, Ms. Mays?
I'm outstanding, Dr. Chinchilla. Thank you so much for the endless work that you do. Thank you so much for providing this platform.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Now, you are in Tulsa. Wow. Now, how long have you lived in Tulsa all your life, Ms. Mays?
No, I'm originally from Oklahoma City. I had a job that transferred me here to Tulsa about 29 years ago. And when I originally moved down, I moved into a very racist at the time part of Tulsa. They got me an apartment in a place called Jinx, Oklahoma, which is on the outskirts of Tulsa. And you could feel the racism there. I even had an opportunity to go to one of the churches out there and was advised that I noticed that I was the only black person, you know, a black family in the church. So that was, like I said, about 28 years ago here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. All right. So now I know down there, okay, so you're the presidential liaison for the NAACP. And now just tell everybody, I guess, a little history about what the NAACP actually does there in Tulsa.
Well, great question. So we're actually recharging, restarting, reigniting what the NAACP looks like here in Tulsa. Like around the country, you know, many have not heard those initials in a really long time. Some cities have, but I know here in Oklahoma, we've been a little silent. And it's for obvious reasons. You know, we are they, and a lot of people are looking for accountability in just pointing the finger at they, not wanting to take the personal accountability, as Brother Bumani was stating, that we have to be an active part of any organization. So in August of last year, I heard Mr. Prentice Pond's case. It was a phone call that I had received from a family member that's incarcerated in Oklahoma, and he has over 200 years, and he's been institutionalized, been there all his life. But when I received the phone call, it was another inmate that had mentioned this guy, Prentice Pons, that I needed to speak with. And at that time, I wasn't NAACP or anything. I just, he shared with me that this guy was really, really like innocent in there. And I was like, what, really? And when I found out about Mr. Pond's story, which he received life plus 25 years because an insurance adjuster came to his home, assaulted him, and Mr. Pond defended himself in his home, and they gave him life plus 25 years because Mr. Pond had a previous 7-year, had been on paper, yeah, I mean, had been incarcerated previously. So his page two gave him this life plus 25, which is crazy because he was in his own home. And there's other details, pictures, proof, all of these things. So I really went to the NAACP at that time to find out how I could help him, because once I heard his story, I wanted to. And I discovered that there was a vacancy in the criminal justice department there. And I stepped in and began building a team. Just you know, I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to do something. So I started developing a truth and sentencing team, a membership drive team, and a team that we could, you know, we could actually start looking at calling out to churches and trying to reignite the fire. I cried for 3 days after hearing Mr. Pond's story. And it was later on when the Julius Jones clemency hearing happened here in Tulsa that I found out then when I was interviewing one of the pastors, Julius Jones' pastor. I found out from him that there were actually 105,000 innocent people that they're stating that is incarcerated in Oklahoma. And I've been running just, you know, trying to find out, as I state, who has the skeleton key. But I'm also attempting to bridge the gap between all of these various cells of groups and organizations that are already functioning in the criminal justice field and those that maybe aren't, that we can come together as a city and realize that our similarity is that we all bleed red blood. And let's stop looking at racism. Let's stop looking at color. Let's start asking for the amnesty. Let's start getting in positions where our voices are volume. So that's pretty much where I am. We're rebuilding the NAACP. And I'm going to make a public declaration right now with this platform to ask people to go out, because the national NAACP has a lot of different moving parts that if we unite in our cities and actually collectively build these units as they should be built according to the bylaws of the NAACP, we already have the foundation structure of a 1909. The NAACP has been here since 1909. This is a stable organization that was started by 70 whites and 7 black people. We are they. That's an open statement that encompasses everyone in the world. It's enough division. It's time for us to start coming together and dealing with some of these real issues and stop calling a heart a spade. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want you to stay on, okay? I'm going to take a couple more callers, and I definitely want you to stay on so we can continue to talk and people may have some questions for you. All right, we're going to go to another caller now. Caller, you're live on the Air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Chinchilla.
Hi, Sister Bessie. How are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm enjoying your show and, you know, just taking in the information. And hi to your guests.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Sister Bessie, since you're on here, I don't know if you missed the portion earlier. I mentioned your name because I honored all of the women of WBNN. And so now I can honor you in person. So it's Women's History Month, and I think that you need to be recognized for all of what you do to bring about awareness to our people. So thank you so much for what you do, and kudos to you tonight.
All right. Thank you so much. And I heard it. It brought joy to my heart. And I'm enjoying everything that you all are talking about. But what concerns me is that, you know, since we've had this pandemic, we actually don't know how many people that they have placed in jail, can't get out on bond, and the court system is backed up. So if someone gets arrested for a minor offense, they take a chance in them being in jail for 3 or 4 years before they can get out. I think that's an injustice to a lot of the young people that are getting caught up and going to jail today. And I remember that we had 3.5 million black men in prison, or black people in prison. Now I think it's gone up to about 6 million. And I think that the justice system needs an overhaul. And the only way we're going to do that is that we complain about it and we fight against what they're doing. And I just wanted to say, on Tulsa, Oklahoma, from what I understand, I think it was like 60 cities that they built roads through. They built things on top of the cities that were black and that the cities were very like Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they built highways in on these lands so we wouldn't know where they were. What do you think about
that?
Wow. You're in the guest.
Wow.
No, you're absolutely
Yeah, you can, yes, please answer that. Go ahead.
Yes, yes, ma'am. You're absolutely correct. We were actually about, I believe it was in December, at TU Law School, and they were covering that. There is a, I do love the fact that we are starting to have certain conversations here in Tulsa, and I applaud the TU Law and for their efforts, and they've even volunteered to help out with the NAACP. But yes, they covered the zoning, and then with me not being originally from here in Tulsa, it was really interesting for me because the dynamics of Black Wall Street and that whole area is cut off, and what they were talking about was even how the busing system, how it adds an additional hour to your transfer with the city busing system. It's so many different dynamics that was affected by the zoning of Black Wall Street in that area. Then they also have even mentioned the fact that a lot of people that are here in Tulsa, and this just comes from about 3 or 4, so let me set the record straight. I didn't have, do a survey. But they were even mentioning that this baseball field could potentially be the place where certain bodies are buried from the 1921 race riot, and that was a cover-up. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of generational mystery here in Tulsa that I think that Oklahoma needs to now be more accountable for. But I also believe that Oklahomans have got to demand this information and come together to unite so that we're able to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us tonight, Ms. Mays, about that history. And Sister Bessie, thank you so much for calling in tonight, and thank you for your questions and also for your comments tonight. Thank you so much. And everybody, that was International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Sister Bessie the Truther. All right, we're going to go to another caller now. Caller, you're live on the air with the News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Brother Hooney, how are you?
Hey, much better now. Glad to be getting through. As far as your subject, I've been saying this for well over 36 years. You know, we are beautiful people, are brilliant people. And what's so sad is 85 to 95% of our people have took the religious route. And because of certain misunderstandings and lack of comprehension in religious affiliation, this is one of the main reasons why we have yet to organize and form a military. There's no other nation on this planet that went through as much hell as we have went through without being able to have a military that's going to defend ourselves against all enemies, whether foreign or domestic. We're the only people that don't have that, especially right here in the shores of America. Now, we done got money. We done became celebrities. We done been able to run for office and play all of these games that people have continued to play with us. But it seems like the average person want to avoid that. And bottom line is freedom isn't free. And if we had a military to defend ourselves and each other, trust me, a lot of the stuff that you see that has been happening for well over 400 years and counting, I'm not going to say it won't happen, but they would think about it. Okay? So I had to get that out there first, but I also got some good news for you. Can you hear me? Congratulations, WNNN Linear New Host of the Year, Chinchilla J, on your WBNN All-Time Connection Record. This is your 48th all-time connection record with the third consecutive of the Darlene Lawrence Championship.
All right. We hope we haven't lost Chinchilla. Chinchilla, you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had myself muted. I was talking and nobody could hear me. Oh,
listen,
so
I
got to
say
so
something, too. I got to bring, Tony, you stay on here, and Sister from the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, I want to, for you to stay on the line as I say something. First of all, I'm glad you brought up the situation with Greenwood. Let's say their name. Let's say the section's name, right, Sister Greenwood.
Yes.
One of the biggest black industrial and cultural centers of the early 20th century.
Yes.
That was destroyed. Mm-hmm. That was destroyed by evil, jealous people that told us that, you know, we weren't allowed to, you know, do with them or be with them or grow with them. So we started to grow on our own. But let me let you understand the situation. I'm gonna give you a history lesson and get back. It might gonna take long, but I'm gonna say what I gotta say. The Oklahoma Territory, before it became a state, was a commune between Native Americans and black people. Okay, and they grew. They were able to buy land because it wasn't owned by the United States government. And they were able to establish businesses. But then comes Doomsday, April 7th, 1913, when Oklahoma became a state. And once Oklahoma became a state, it was good old boy union and reunion all over again. And for 8 years, they plotted to overthrow Greenwood. And, man, that horrible legacy continues. And now back to our anchor, Chinchilla J.
Thank you, Brother L. Yeah, wow. And, you know, Tulsa has such a history. And it's a whole lot of stuff that people you can actually Google and read about Tulsa. And the stuff will just literally blow you away. And, you know, some of the people that were actually alive when they burned Wall Street down, Black Wall Street there, there are few people that are still here today. Their family members, descendants are still alive and all, too. And, you know, it's a place that you definitely want to visit because it has a rich history. It's an historical city. And, wow, it's so much that's going on there. And I am so happy to have met Miss Mays and to find out, you know, what she's doing there to really get the NAACP to do what it really needs to be doing. And, you know, and Brother O asks almost every week, like, where's the NAACP? Where
you better
they
believe it.
These
you better believe it.
And,
this is the first time that we've had an NAACP representative on our network since 2013, Ms. Mays. And it's something that I want to challenge you with, and Chinchilla, thank you for allowing me to speak again, even though just, you know what I'm saying. But, Ms. Mays, we got to do a better job there in Tulsa to expand just the 1.5 block of Greenwood Avenue. Okay? Yeah, I see the district being, you know, so-called, they gave us a bone. They gave us a bone, and they're trying to build black businesses in a block and a half area. No. The people of Tulsa, I talk to people of Tulsa every week because I'm an international star. So I talk to people all the time, and people in Tulsa, and I know you hear it. I know you hear it from the barbershops to the beauty salons to the churches to the masjids, right, in Tulsa. There should be more land and more blocks in the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It ain't about reparation. It's about giving back what's theirs. And not just Vernon AME, huh? And we all know that Vernon AME is the only building that's standing in Tulsa right now that has the safe, that has the foundation from Greenwood. Everything else was burned down. The foundation at Vernon, am I correct, Ms. Mays, is the only standing point of Tulsa that was owned by black people. Am I correct?
You are correct.
All right, I'm going.
Okay, thanks, Brother O. Wow. All right, so we want to thank International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever Elect Huni Bakatun, who was the gentleman that you heard speaking a few moments ago. Thank you so much, Brother Huni, for calling in with your comments and with your remarks and also with that great news. We're going to go to another caller now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? It's me, Nolan.
Hey, Nolan, how are you?
Okay, I want to make sure. Okay, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Everybody, yes. Nolan has been on here as a guest a few months ago. He was wrongfully incarcerated, and, you know, for about 10 and a half years, and he's in New York, and he was paroled, and now his parole is over, and guess what? They did not exonerate him. They paroled him. And so he's fighting for a full exoneration, to be exonerated. So you want to talk about your rally tomorrow, Nolan?
Yes, yes. My name is Nolan Farrell. I'm from Queens, New York. And I was maliciously prosecuted because the evidence I have showed that they railroaded me. I was 18 years old. They locked me up. And I was 19 when they convicted me for a crime I didn't do. They said I acted in concert with an individual who was already incarcerated, and they never turned over the Brady material that shows a different story they fabricated against me. They judged me the color of my skin. It's all facts. The documents speak for itself. Black and white don't lie. You know, I was an 18-year-old kid, illiterate to the law, and just got railroaded. You know, but tomorrow I'm having a rally. I'm exposing the corruption and the racist practices out of that office under the old administration to the new administration. It's continuing, and I'm exposing it to the public tomorrow. I'm blowing the whistle. This must stop. They're going to exonerate me, and so I can live my life. They're not going to get away with it trying to sweep my case under the rug. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow that at all. And I'm not the only case they doing this to. There's another guy, Gaskin. He's one of the victims I ran into like 3 months ago. Yes, Gaskin. I ran into him 3 months ago and learned that he had the same problem like me with the same individual who got our cases in his possession. And he is biased, straight up biased, 100%. I have the evidence. He is biased, and we're going to make that known tomorrow. So we're out there rallying 11 a.m. Queens Boulevard. Address is 12606 in front of the Queens County District Attorney's Office. And all the community support, and we're going to get the message out to all the voters out there in Queens County what's going on with the office. Are we paying taxes to? We're going to expose it.
Right.
Expose the corruption.
Definitely.
And I'm also going to shout out to the governor of the state of New York for a special prosecutor to investigate this office, a civil rights violation of me and Mr. Gaskin and cover-ups office.
Yeah.
I'm shouting out to the governor of the state of New York to put a special prosecutor on this district attorney's office and also the Eastern District U.S. Attorney Office for our civil rights being violated underneath the color of law. They deprived us. They deprived us of a fair trial. And I'm exposing it tomorrow. Tomorrow's my big day, and I'm showing out. I'm showing out. I'm bringing the evidence. I'm showing everything black and white evidence that speak louder than the words what they did to me.
Yes. Definitely got exposed that because everybody in this case is just so ridiculous because in Nolan's case, okay, they had a co-defendant, you know, alleged co-defendant in this case, and it was a robbery case, you know, it supposed to have been a robbery at gunpoint, and there were supposed to be two perpetrators, and the co-defendant that they had, guess what? The co-defendant didn't even know Nolan, never met Nolan before in his life. The co-defendant was not even in New York at the time that the alleged crime happened. Guess where the co-defendant was, listeners? The co-defendant was in prison in the state of Virginia, for heaven's sakes. So, I mean, that's just so crazy. And yet with that coming to light and that evidence, you know, the Convention Integrity Unit there in New York, they have not done anything yet to, you know, bring Nolan's case to the forefront. They're talking, oh, well, they have other cases before his and all, but, you know, this should take precedence because it's new evidence that they need to look into so that Nolan can be exonerated, and that's what we're going to be fighting for tomorrow. So yeah. We urge all you that are in New York, if you're in northern New Jersey, if you're in Connecticut, come to the rally. And, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you were wrongfully incarcerated, if you have a wrongfully incarcerated loved one, come out and tell their story, because we're going to be there. Be a voice, Criminal Justice Reborn, and Right the Wrong Coalition. We will be there tomorrow, standing with Nolan and standing with Mr. Gadsden, or Reverend Keith Gadsden, for justice. Because it's terribly wrong that these two men that were wrongfully convicted of a crime that they did not commit, and, they need to be exonerated. So, yes.
Yes, yes, definitely. They continue, as I said, they continue to violate my due process rights. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. You know, the conviction carrying unit, that's what they're supposed to be there for, to show integrity. And they ain't showing no integrity. How the same office who committed fraud against me that's going to overturn a conviction that they committed? So the colleagues are still in office there. They all DAs. The conviction attorney unit is DAs, the same DAs in there. They all work together. They all a family there, And I reached out to several organizations in New York City, and they didn't want to get involved because they didn't want to lose their relationship with the DA's office. And I had to go out and reach out to Chinchilla, and she helping me. She is helping me. She is the voice for us. We don't have a voice. So all of us out there who's listening, please donate to the coalition, Right the Wrong Coalition, Chinchilla organization. They are there for us. That's to let y'all know. Do the right thing. Support her like me. I'm supporting her. This organization here, it's for us, to help us. She's there to help every one of us. That's
wow.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much, Nolan. Thank you so much. And guess what? I did a promo for the rally tomorrow. Everybody take a listen to the rally promo.
Join Right the Wrong Coalition and be a voice for Criminal Justice Reborn Rally on March 28th. From 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. outside of the Queens District Attorney's Office in Queens, New York. Join Chinchilla Jonesia and Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto to be a voice for Nolan Farrell and Keith Gadsden, two men who were wrongfully incarcerated and paroled, but never exonerated. Help us fight for these two men for a full exoneration. So we will be rallying outside of DA Melinda Cash's office. Come out, speak up, and speak out against this injustice that has been imposed upon these two wrongfully incarcerated men who have been released on parole. Parole is finished, but they have not been fully exonerated, not been exonerated at all. So join us tomorrow, March 28th, 2022, in front of DA Cat's office, which is located 126-06 Queens Boulevard in Kew Gardens, New York. For more information, you may contact Be a Voice or Right the Wrong Coalition at 844-642-8378, extension 111, or 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888 or 111. Come out and be a voice tomorrow. Get up, stand up, and speak up for your rights. See you in Queens.
All right. Please come out tomorrow. Support Nolan Farrell and Reverend Kenneth Gadsden tomorrow. And there's going to be a special DJ out there tomorrow, DJ L7. And I was a guest on his show yesterday. He interviewed me, an awesome young man out there. And guess what? He's Asian. And he's standing up and fighting for justice. and brown people, you know, so that's so very awesome. It's an awesome thing. All right, we're going to go to another caller now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you this evening? Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
All right, caller.
Yes.
There we
Hi.
Go.
How are you? How are you tonight? Hello? You were just
All right. All right. I don't know what happened, Chinchilla. All right. At this time, we'll call us at this time. Anyone wants to press 1, please do. That's right, interview.
Okay, press 1 if you would like to speak. And I think that was Carolyn. So, Carolyn, if you can press 1 again, and we will get you. But right now, we're going to actually go to Prentice Pons, who Francetta talking about. Prentice Pons is actually on the line, so we definitely want to hear from him tonight. How are you tonight, Prentice? Mr. Pons? Yes.
Okay, make sure.
How are you tonight?
What line is Prentice on, Chinchilla?
Let me see.
Yes, indeed. And again,
what's the last 4 of his number?
2437.
2437.
At this time, 2437 is not on the line. So we'll try to get him in and we'll continue. Matter of fact, we do have another caller that's been patiently waiting. We'll try to get them on. Let's see. I don't know, they just pressed 1. At this time, nope, they disengaged. Okay, continue with the outstanding interview.
All right. So awesome. All right. So now we know that in the South that there is a difference slightly because, as we talked about before, like racism is like very prevalent over this entire country. But in the South, it's just a little more, I guess it's a little worse. In the South, in the southern states, because some of these southern states, they actually still act like they're still in slavery days, and it's just a disgrace, and it's so very sad how blacks are treated in some of these southern states. And, you know, in Oklahoma, right now in 2022, and let's say 2021, 2022, how would you describe Oklahoma as far as racism today, Ms. Mays?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. In Oklahoma, I believe the perception in Oklahoma is that there is a lot of racism, and there is, but it's not so prevalent as it sounds. There's a small group of people that financially are running a huge piece of Oklahoma. And this is where I struggle personally because my part is this. I've raised my kids, you know, had to help raise my grandkids. And so I was not woke. I wasn't conscious of the things that was going on. And when I became aware after I stepped into this with Mr. Pons, what I noticed is that in some things we get to establish our own narrative, if that makes sense. And since it's more of us, if we could just stop being so divided and we can stop having the mindset that, you know, it's all about a title, and if we could all just get on board to sit down and make a collaborative decision that we are, you know, and I've said this, you know, time after time, I hear every year that Martin Luther King had a dream. We've got to have a plan. We can't keep, you know, staying looking in the rearview mirror. We've got to come up with a plan to move forward. There's a lot of generational curses and patterns that has been accepted here in Tulsa and in the state of Oklahoma. You know, and I'm going to take this opportunity just to say this. when Julius Jones happened, when that fiasco happened, you know, and thank you, Lord, for sparing his life. However, I'm not one of those people that's all sold out for the Democratic Party. So there are certain things in Republican Party that I like, certain things in the Democrat Party I like. So, you know, I may vacillate back and forth depending on whatever their principles or whatever they're talking about, right? So the one thing that got me to where I said, okay, we've got to do something different, was when our governor, Governor Stitt, Julius Jones was scheduled at 4 p.m. to be executed, right? And so the pastoral covering for Julius Jones, Mr. Keith Jossell, Pastor Keith Jossell, his wife and I went to high school together. So she told me, she called me, she said, you know what? She said, they woke him up to check his vitals to make sure that he was strong enough for them to kill him. I said, they did what?
Oh, my.
They came and woke him up out of his sleep. Now, mind you, they had already been changing the cells and taking him from one cell closer to the next cell, which is mental freaking torment. And then, you know, when this man does, you know, they give him his last meal to eat, and he goes to sleep. And then she tells me that you know, they woke him up to check his vitals. And then our governor, you know, to me, because I'm a mom, and I'm praying for this family. I'm praying for Mr. Jones. You know, I'm working on Mr. Prentice Pons here, but I'm also now awakened to this thing happening with Mr. Jones. And I'm in, you know, I'm in Muskogee working, and literally I'm waiting because we did not hear from the governor. Now, mind you, he set in place a committee that he gave full instruction to review the Julius Jones case, right? And since he put these people together, they were supposed to give him back their recommendation. They fully investigated the Julius Jones case. They fully came back with him, to him, and stated that they recommended clemency. That was the first time. That wasn't good enough for our Governor Stitt here in Oklahoma. And respectfully, like I said, prior to that, I wasn't even tripping like this. But I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That was a massive move, sir. Foul.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Because you don't get the full rank, because what you did was then the second time that they came back to you, you then took all day. You made this mother and this family and the people of Oklahoma and the people across the world wait while you then said you had to pray. Sir, who were you praying to?
Right, exactly.
That,
he wasn't,
you know,
praying to God because God had already spoke. he spoke
for him not to execute
this man.
Yeah, but you know what? This reminded me of the 21st chapter of Numbers when Baal, you know, he was told to curse the children of Israel. The king wanted Pam to curse them. He asked God. God said, no, this was the situation when the donkey talked, right? When the donkey saw what was happening. See, right now what's happening is that this had to occur. Mr. Pons' case, like I told Mr. Pons, you are my Rosa Parks, sir, because it's all in God's timing. God plays chess. He don't play checkers. All of this, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good.
Yes.
And what we're doing
right
now with Mr. Pons getting his name out there, shining a light on this crooked judicial system, the prejudiceness that's going on behind the scenes in the good old boys club. Like I said, Governor Stitt, you messed up when you made Mrs. Jones, Julius Jones' mother, suffer that long, because, see, that broke my heart. I'm out of town working and had to pull over on the highway to cry because he drugged that out so long that I lost respect for our governor at that moment. And then you pulled rank and you made a statement that said life without the possibility of parole, not eligible to apply for or be considered for commutation, pardon, or parole for the remainder of his life. Who do you think you are, sir? Thank you very much for sparing his life. However, that's not good enough. That was a slap in the face of every African American person, I felt like. But there again, see, I hadn't found my voice yet. I hadn't found my voice yet because I, you know, when you go from corporate America into this activism stuff, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? But I have to keep me emptied out so he can fill up in me so that the Holy Spirit can function, because we can't do this by ourselves. The Word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their evil ways, then I will heal their land. We got work to do. In order for us to get this Acts 2 moment, we got to get on one accord. We all got to start talking and speaking the same language instead of fighting each other. We all got to get on the same board, bandwagon, instead of pointing the finger and saying, well, we got to wait on this person or that person. And I'm going to say this too. There are family members of people incarcerated that have given up on your loved ones and you have disqualified them. We cannot do that. Everybody's got to reach one person. And this is not about color. This is not about color. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there are a few racist people that have money and they're controlling the narrative. But there's enough people, if we all just stop and get together and quit trying to look for things that we're going to major in minor stuff. We got enough major stuff that we need to be majoring in, like getting the wrong people out of office. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, I don't care. If they are not adding up to the things that we're asking them for as our employees, it's time for them to move. Sorry, not sorry. We are the ones that's empowered, but one voice, one drop of water is not going to make a difference. But if you unleash the dam on a river, now you got some power. Each one of us is a drop of water. When we come together, we can be the ocean and have all power to be able to change things. But no, we majoring in minor stuff. I'm going to give you one more, and then I'm going to be quiet. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. Let's do the mic drop right there. The fact that we major, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, let's stop and look at why we got an attitude. Let's stop and look at who may have the key that we don't like and we don't want to talk to and we don't want to communicate with. We've got to stop being so aggressive, and we've got to start being strategic. We got to stop playing chess and checkers and start playing chess. We got to study the art of war. The art of war, we got to study our enemy and come up with a strategy. Like I said, Martin had a dream. Today, in order for this to stop, we got to have a plan. And I'm talking about every state has to have a plan. We can't keep sitting back going, well, you know, this group over here is doing this, this group over here is doing that. That's how we're segregated. Stop looking at all that. Start looking at the hearts of people that you start looking at the hearts of people that you're laboring with. The Bible says to know those that labor amongst you. Now those are your battle buddies. Now we can come up on the front lines and we can start getting trained. Quit being offensive. I mean, quit being offensive.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Mays. Thank you so much for that. And that's like one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, you know, verse 10 through 17. You know, it talks about the whole armor of God, and, you know, it talks about us not wrestling against flesh and blood. I often quote that, and, you know, and not only the principalities, but the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world is what we're wrestling against. And look at who's in power. The people that are in power are evil people. They're rulers of darkness. You know, the judges, the prosecutors, and the police officers, they're all corrupt. And, you know, not all of them, but the majority of them are corrupt. And those that sit around and don't do anything or don't go up when they see things going on, they're just as bad as the ones that are doing it. All right, we're going to now bring on Stormy Atkins, who is the wife of Bishop Atkins. We're going to bring her on quickly, and she's going to update us on Bishop Atkins' case and everything, because remember, a few weeks ago, he was supposed to go before a hearing to decide whether they were going to give him a new trial. And they postponed that because they said that the prosecution's key witness had to have surgery on the same day, March 15th, as the day of that hearing was supposed to be scheduled. All right, so let's bring on Ms. Atkins. How are you tonight, Stormy?
I'm well, Chinchilla. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. And also, thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much for honoring you, tonight. It would just really touch my heart that you would even think of me. So I appreciate that so much.
All right, you're quite welcome. I think that you were very deserving of that because, you know, for the past 6 years, you've been spending your anniversary, your wedding, your marriage anniversary up at prison in a visitation room. And, you know, and Bishop said, wow, even through all of that, you sat there and ate, you know, y'all had that cold hamburger, half a hamburger that you shared.
Yeah.
But he said you did it with such grace and dignity. You never complained or anything.
Yeah.
So that is so awesome. And you were relentlessly fighting for your husband. So I think that's something worth to be commended about, you know, and you're a woman of God and a praying woman. Yes, yes.
So
and so now tell us what's going on with this case.
What's going on with this case is that they have given us another date, which is April 12th. And so we are pulling everything again together to make sure that we are on our P's and Q's and have every I dot and every T crossed to be there and get things together for his new court date. So they did give us a court date for April 12th, and so we're ready for him. You know, we've done the due diligence and what's needed to get in there and present our case, and we are ready. And so prayfully keep us in prayer that they don't try to kick this can down the road a little bit longer, but we are preparing for them on April 12th.
Okay, that is awesome, awesome, awesome. And I would definitely be praying for you guys. And, you know, you all will be on Newsroom next week sharing some things. And then we have the podcast scheduled for you for April the 7th. April the 7th for Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. And thank you so much for calling in tonight, Stormy.
Thank you.
And
we're
going to
so
go to another. What did you say?
You and everything that you do for people who are in these situations, you are a phenomenal woman yourself. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to go to another caller. We're going to now go to another caller. All right, caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you? Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey. Is this you, Carolyn?
It is. Yes.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. All right. So, everybody, this is Carolyn Weaver, who is the fiancée of Gary Sutton out in Tennessee. And, you know, his case is another case that's really a crazy case. And she briefly shared his story with us a few weeks ago. And so now, Carolyn, I think that you're scheduled for Cries of Innocence this Wednesday, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome, awesome. And now, any updates on Gary's case right now?
Not yet. We went and talked to his public defenders, but we didn't get much out of them. So we are going to start with the media and try to take it nationally, actually. We've hired an investigator that's going to try to help us bring the jurors forward that was actually planted on the jury at the time. So we're just right now trying to really get started and get going hard on it because we have a date of October the 6th and don't want that to come.
Well, yeah, because that's the date that they have scheduled to execute Gary, and it's a shame because this corrupt country has executed many innocent people and later found out that they were innocent. And it's such a disgrace, and it's very sad, and, you know, they definitely need to revisit his case because from everything I've heard and everything I've read, you know, I don't think he did it. And if I have doubt, everyone should have doubt, you know, and it's supposed to be guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when there's doubt, they need to throw the case out. But, you know, it doesn't happen that way in this country.
There was doubts all through it, but they just didn't care. And that's just it. Our justice system just does not care.
Right. They don't care at all. And it's a sad thing. It's really sad. And so we're definitely going to be praying for Gary. What'd you say, Carolyn?
You. I have a private investigator that we have that's going to come on with us as well on Wednesday.
Okay, awesome. Yes, that will be very awesome. And then everybody just know that the full story of Gary Sutton will be also featured here on News Forum as well, and with the private investigator and with some of the family members and some others. And you know, it's going to be a very interesting case, and you're going to hear it and be like, what? Why? How? It's so very crazy. And this is another case where there was an alleged codependent, you know, so this is really ridiculous, very ridiculous. But, Carolyn, I thank you so much for calling in tonight and sharing that update with us, and I'm so glad that you guys hired a private investigator, and hopefully that will help and, you know, get things changed there. And
we thank you for
see you all Wednesday.
Yes, and we thank you for having us on. We thank you. We thank you for giving us the time to tell our story.
No, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And I will see you all Wednesday on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. All right, everybody. Take a listen to this for a moment, which is the Be a Voice sponsor promo. And if anybody out there listening, if you have a business or anything and you would like to become a sponsor for Be a Voice or Right the Wrong Coalition, or even a sponsor for this program, News Forum, just give me a call Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888, or you can just send your donations to Cash App, $BAVoiceTour, or Venmo is Be a Voice. Very simple and very easy. Be a Voice Tour for Cash App and Be a Voice for Venmo. Take a listen to this sponsor clip.
Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Haru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Haru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 111.
All right, so that was the sponsor, Magic Man Haru LLC, Sound Therapy, which is definitely needed, and music is good for the soul. All right, we're going to have final thoughts right now from my special guest, Ms. Francetta Mays.
Thank you very, very much for this opportunity and this platform. It's people like you that really matter, and I just pray for your ministry, pray for everything that you touch. You have a heart of gold, and I appreciate you and your listeners, your staff, and those that support you. Final thoughts is that we really have to start focusing our attention on what's really happening. The world has been doing a magic act. Not the world, the United States has been doing this magic act. And there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of corruption. But there's also over 7 billion people that are in the world, and we have to unite. And there's only 6 degrees of separation. So when we really think about the fact that if we get on fire and get determined and really start having the important conversations and stop thinking about, you know, Gucci and Louis Vuitton and spending all of our money, this is, I'm in total agreement for the amnesty over reparations, because my fear is that even if we were to get reparations, we'd give it right back to them, because we are not using all of our brain to be creative or to connect with each other properly. I'm just asking and challenging each person to reach out. Each one, reach one, so that we can start teaching one.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for coming on tonight and being my special guest. Thank you for all that you shared with us tonight, and I will definitely have you again. Thank you so much. All right, at this time, we're going to go into Ngozi time, and then I will be right back with my final thoughts for the night.
Of course, this show here is dedicated to outstanding warrior in the city of Philadelphia, two outstanding warriors. One passed away in 2014. His name was John J. Wyatt Mondesire, a good friend of mine, led the NAACP in Philadelphia for 9 years, outstanding person. But this, you cannot mention the great NAACP without mentioning one of the greatest lawyers of its time, and a fighter. And we wish we had more people in the NAACP like this man. His name was Cecil Moore. Cecil B. Moore was a person that not only integrated one of the outstanding institutions of higher learning for children in this country throughout college, but did so much for civil rights in the Delaware Valley. And, of course, the Moore family, you know, still a great loss since 1979, the great Cecil B. Moore. And tomorrow night here at WBNN, we have a young man out of Trenton, New Jersey, represent, name of the show is Trenton Makes, by Ricardo Richard, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time at WBNN. And of course, WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are at Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest and Ngozi Time. Ola Dunley Malay, when goes to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ole Delay. That goes for my and gmail.com. And I am the mother and father's paid producer, Ola Dunley Malay, when goes to saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, supporters on the constant basis. And now, congratulatory to our deputy commissioner of this network, the linear new host of the year for the class of 2021, with a 48th all-time, third consecutive, our anchor, Chinchilla J. For the next 3 minutes to go in this program tonight. We hope she takes herself off mute. I don't know if she's having problems with her phone. That's okay. But I'll try to get her on right now. And here she is. There she is. There she is. All right.
I was busy talking. I want to once again thank Francetta Mays from the NAACP in Tulsa, Oklahoma tonight for being my special guest. To thank Stormy Atkins for giving updates on her husband Bishop Atkins' case. And I also thank Carolyn Weaver for calling in, giving updates on Gary Sutton's case. And Monique Hayes for calling in, giving updates on Eric Hayes' case in Arizona. And Gary's in Tennessee. And Nolan Farrell talking about the rally in Queens tomorrow. And everyone else that called in and made comments tonight, thank you so very much for listening. And we're going to have, of course, part two of corruption in the Southwest, because tonight we talked about Oklahoma and Arizona. But we still have to get to some of those other states. There's a lot of corruption in Texas. So next week we will be talking about Texas next week, and also Tennessee next week we're going to be talking about, and maybe Kentucky. But there are so many states, you know, because we have, 50 states in this country? So all of them are corrupt, everybody. Every last one of them are corrupt. We live in a corrupted country. And we want to know what's going on in your city, in your state. So if you have a case of corruption or injustices or racism, or if gentrification is happening and you're against that, we want to know about that too. So give me a call Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. And we can talk about you coming on the show. And follow me on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonesia, C-H-I-N-C-H-I-L-A, my last name, J-O-N-E-S-I-A. Also follow Mike, M-I-C-T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. That's Mike Test Entertainment TV. Like and follow that page. And you can also join Right the Wrong Coalition. The Facebook group is on Facebook. So just put that in the search bar, or you can find it on the Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. Again, I'm Chinchilla Jonesia, and I always say we have to stand up, speak up, and be a voice. And be a voice on purpose. Also, be productive on purpose. This week, tune in Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, where we will feature the story of Gary Sutton. And that will be found on Facebook on the Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. Again, happy anniversary to Bishop Atkins and Stormy Atkins on their 18th anniversary. And happy birthday to Brother Bamani. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Good night, be a voice, and listen to the promo. Find out how you can donate.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's capital B-E-A-V-O-I-C-E, lowercase T-O-U-R. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/ capital B-E-A-V-O-I-C-E. Venmo.com/u/BAVoice. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 11.